This is the Apple This Extra.
Hello and welcome to Apple This Extra number 69. We are gathered around the microphones to talk about iOS 13. As we record, iOS 13.1 will be released tomorrow, September 24th. I am joined by two of my fellow AppleViz team members who have been putting plenty of content up on the website. We have creator of many podcasts, Mr. Thomas Donville. How are you, Thomas?
Pretty well. Hi, Dave. Hi, everyone out there.
And of course, Braille expert and writer of much interesting information about iOS 13, we have Scott Davert. Thank you for joining us, Scott.
Well, thanks for having me, Dave. Is it ever going to cool off? I kind of hope it doesn't, actually. You know, it's the first day of fall. I'm ready for summer. I don't know about you guys.
I could have some summer.
You're going to have to visit south. Go way south.
Where do you think I am?
Well, you're not in Australia.
No, I'd like to be, but not at the moment. Sorry.
So we've had lots of great activity on the website over the last week. So iOS 13 released on September 19th, and we've lots of content up about what's new, and we had stuff about the bugs and all that kind of stuff as well. And of course, now 13.1 and iPad OS are just about to be launched. So,
Are there bugs?
There's one or two. So yeah, it's not the stable release that iOS 12 was, perhaps, but you know, there's lots of good stuff I think to talk about too. So let's do that. Will we talk about a little bit about some of the new general kind of features that are in iOS 13? So probably one of the big ones that has got a lot of attention is dark mode. Some low vision people might be interested in that. I know I quite like dark mode, actually. I just like the look of it. There's things like playing radio in Siri. There's some changes to Mail, Safari. The Files app has some improvements as well. There's the Find My app. I still don't like the name of that app, but that is Find My Friends and Find My iPhone, is it? Combined? Anything else standing out? Thomas, what stands out to you from the kind of the general features and general improvements to iOS 13?
General in terms of just mainstream?
Yeah.
I think you pretty much hit everything on the head. I mean, there's some new option for those that want to save some cell data. There's a battery optimizer now, the charging. There's quite a few things for those. You know, you can now zip files, unzip things. They made some changes to the Messenger. There's a lot. There's a lot of just basic general stuff that, you know, I think a lot of them like the App Store. A lot of people don't like the new App Store either.
The App Store, the main change I noticed in the App Store was just that the updates tab has gone. And now that you go to My Account on the Today screen to get to your updates. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, it's kind of buried up there. You know, now they have that arcade right there up in front.
Yeah. Does it bother you?
Not really. I don't really check updates all that often. I mean, I'm thinking for people that do have that turned off, like they want to kind of check it for themselves and update it themselves, they'll have to. It's just more tapping to get to it. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I am curious. Now, you said you like dark mode quite a bit. I have not had the, you know, we don't have the vision deal, but you did. And, you know, that's strange because I showed it to my son and my wife and I said, oh, look, they got dark mode and they both don't like dark mode. So I was like, wow, okay.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't know why I like it. Like, I can't read the text either way, if I'm honest. So it's kind of just that I like the look of it really more than anything. Scott, any other kind of mainstream features stood out to you?
Well, I think the Files app updates are really good for people that have the hardware already, especially. I don't have any, but you know, the ability to more freely not only move files around, but also, you know, you're able to download files directly onto your iOS device now, so that's pretty cool for people that like to do that.
Yeah, and you can use third party plug in hard drives, external hard drives, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm surprised I forgot about this, the your swipe to type in. That's a huge one.
That is a big one, actually. You did a demo how this works, because obviously, you know, when we saw that, we wondered how that would work with VoiceOver. And what it is you kind of find that first letter the same way you would have before, but instead of lifting your finger to type it, if you were touch typing, you would simply leave your finger there and then you just move your finger to where you think roughly each of the letters in that word would be. And so you're kind of making the pattern of the word, which might sound familiar to people who use FlickType, although it's a different input method. It's using, I guess, a similar kind of algorithm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use it?
I do. I'll use it half the time. You know, sometimes when I do text messaging, I do it more often on that. Now, obviously, when I'm doing mail and stuff, it just depends. I mean, I have a setup right now. I have it on all the time. I just have it default to 2 seconds. I thought the original 1 second was too quick, so I can at least do haptic when I want to, like the, you know, the punctuation and things like that, and it makes it easier. So half the time I do, half the time I don't. It just depends. Especially if it's a difficult word, like a very specific, like AppleViz, and I realize I can add that as a vocabulary, which I need to do at some point. But anything that's kind of an oddball word, I just end up just spelling it out myself. But when I want to do a long sentence, I just go ahead and try it. And it's hard to get used to it first, but after time, I really enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, I've kind of dabbled, I guess. I've used it on and off because sometimes I just find it frustrating as well. Like that, if it doesn't get the word you want, it feels very frustrating, I guess.
It is. It can be very frustrating if it's not exactly where you think it's going, and then you have to start all over, and it's just like I almost could type faster, and then I can get the slide typing to work.
Yeah. But I could possibly see myself using it, but it's kind of still in progress. Tom, or Scott, I guess you mostly use Braille display for text entry, do you?
Yeah, I mainly use the Braille display, but I've actually found that because sometimes I have to do touch typing, or typing on the touch screen, I guess would be a better way to say it without confusing the different modes. I agree, it's kind of a learning curve, but once you get used to it, it can really save you a lot of time, especially when you're, you know, not having to do every letter and, you know, either split tap it or even raise your finger. You just raise your finger when you're done. So, you know, it's one of those things where if you haven't used, say, one of the other third-party options, it's a real muscle memory learner. You know, you got to really work with it if you want to see results. But the end result for most people, I think, is going to be much more rapid typing on the touchscreen.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, to give a sneak peek into bugs, one of the bugs I'm experiencing is with third-party keyboards. So this is sort of filling a bit of a gap there as well, I guess. Mm-hmm. But hopefully that will be one that will be fixed, because I'm sure there's a lot of unhappy keyboard developers out there if they don't.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I suppose, would you agree to sum up on the kind of the non-accessibility side of things? It's a big enough update, but it's a lot of little things rather than any kind of big new features in iOS 13.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of hidden gems in there. They're all scattered about. There's just lots of little new things. I think some areas, like, as you say, the Find My, that would be kind of a big update. I mean, certain things are a big update, like the slide to typing. I think that's a big one, but lots of little ones. You're right. I mean, little things like in Safari now, that you have a lot more options to control in there than you had before. And so there's just little gems hidden all across.
There's a little menu just to the left of the address bar. I've forgotten what it's called. And it allows you to kind of set parameters for each individual website and things like that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of little things. I think the only what I'm starting to notice is that gestures are getting more complicated, and it's taking more gestures to do the same things that you used to be able to do in earlier versions of iOS. I guess that would be my only complaint, but hey, we have custom gestures. Yay.
Well, no, you're right. I have to agree with you. I have found that the changes they made, there's a lot more tapping and swiping for us than we had before.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, there are people that I've worked with who, for example, have a problem, tapping the bottom of the screen and swiping up for home, or, you know, sliding your finger up further for the app switcher. For whatever reason, you know, either they have a hard time orienting themselves to the bottom of the iOS device, or some of them just don't like it. So now they don't have to do that anymore. True. I just have to remember, as their instructor, okay, what did we set up here?
Mm.
And Also, on, I'd probably give a quick mention to iPad as well, because iPad OS is new this year in a sense. It's still iOS 13, but it's kind of somewhat split off, and they call it iPad OS now. So it has everything that iOS has on the iPhone, but it also has a few extra features. There's some changes to the Today view, which is that screen next one across from your home screen where you have all the widgets. You can, rather than being a whole page now, that's a little drawer that slides out from the side of the screen, and you can pin it there permanently if you want, which is, if you use those widgets a lot, I would use them more on iPhone than iPad myself, but if you do use them a lot on your iPad, that's pretty handy. There's desktop Safari, so they've improved Safari to make it a bit more desktop-like, because people found that a bit frustrating on the larger iPad screen not to have a fully-fledged web browser. And they've improved multitasking as well, so if you want to be able to use things side-by-side, use two apps or use two tabs of the same app side-by-side, you can kind of do that now. So some cool improvements. I think they're really overdue improvements to iPad.
How do you feel about that? I mean, to us that can't see it, and we got, it's just a lot more real estate to work with. So we have to remember this side has this one, this side has this one. Does that tend to be confusing or hard to do?
It's not too bad in my experience. Like if I was using it with a Bluetooth keyboard, I'd probably find it easier just to alt tab between apps, you know?
Definitely.
But if I'm working in touchscreen mode, then rather than having to go into the app switcher and stuff, if you are trying to look at two apps, maybe a Safari web page and, or maybe two Safari web pages side by side or something like that, you know, it is kind of cool. So, yeah.
So here's a question, Dave. You have a Mac, obviously. You already know where I'm going with this, probably. Is your iPad replacing your Mac?
No. I still find if I really want to get, you know, to fire through emails or to do, type up a document or anything like that, I do still find the Mac easier to use, I got to say. I guess it's got better. Even though they've improved, they're improving the keyboard control on iOS, I still think you can do more and more easily with the Mac, personally. I guess you guys are the same, are you? Whether it's Mac or PC, you would prefer, rather than using an iOS device.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have to concur with that. I think there's a lot more steps involved using my Bluetooth with an iPad than if I were to use just a straight Mac or a Windows.
Yeah, I think they're moving in the right direction with it. And there is some things that are quite nice to do on iPad, but like I do like web browsing and stuff like that on the iPad, you know. But still, I have to say my iPad is mostly for watching Netflix.
Well, I'm thinking that like new users that are doing away either have not been exposed to desktops or JAWS or VoiceOver on Mac. I wonder if the basic general stuff would be doable for people with the iPad Pro.
Definitely. I know people who don't have a laptop who just have an iPad as their computer, you know, so.
Well, it's simpler. It really is.
Yeah.
It just lacks some of the powerhouse stuff like, you know, I don't know. I don't think it has spell check, grammar check, those kind of things.
Some of them, yeah. No, it would have some of that.
It's not a full blown feature.
We couldn't do this though. Like, I don't think we could record a podcast.
It might be GarageBand and everything. If you get real complicated in there,
I think you have issues with audio channels and things like that. Especially if you want to record it as well. I think.
Well, yeah. I guess when you come to the professional level, if you're doing things at a professional level, I there's nothing that will replace the computers, like the Mac, especially. I mean, I can't see everyday office users. You know, someone in the office or IT or anything like that would be able to use just strictly iPad. It just wouldn't work.
Yeah. But yeah, there, it's improving though. And I think you could, if you're going away for a few days or something, I think you can get, you know, very possibly get by.
So what new features do you like on the iPad OS then?
Those ones really are, you know, it's mostly the same as iOS 13. Like I said, just got those few extra things. The multitasking is cool, but I just don't find myself, for what I use my iPad for, it's not going to be massively relevant to me in the short term unless I start really make an effort to use it, to use my iPad more for kind of work stuff. I think, you know, again, same with desktop Safari, you know, most websites I visit are just fine as they were, but I think that's a very good feature, you know, so there's nothing that absolutely stands out to me as a game changer for me, but I do think for people in general out there, I think there's some definitely good, they have made good improvements, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And okay, well, we get on to then what's new in accessibility. There's quite a lot of this. Thomas, you've done loads of podcasts on these. Scott, you've written up a really good article on all these. So if you want more information on these, you know, in a bit more detail, please do check all that stuff out. But we'll have a quick chat through some of the highlights from an accessibility point of view. We've got some customization around VoiceOver. So things like, actually, one thing you'll notice now, there's a couple of things you'll notice immediately when you start using VoiceOver on iOS 13. One is the change to the kind of Explorer by touch. You'll just hear it's a bit more sensitive, which at first I didn't like, but I've got used to and actually like it now. There is the haptic. So every time you make a swipe or anything, you move around the screen, you'll feel one of those little haptic things as well. So that, you know, some people like it, some people won't, but it can be turned on and off and customized as well. It can be heavily, you know, so you can say swipe gestures do have a haptic, but Explorer by Touch doesn't, or vice versa, I believe, can't you? So I think that's one really interesting. How do you guys find about that kind of general interaction now? Do you think it's good?
Oh, I love the haptics. I personally think it's going to be a love or hate relationship. You're either going to hate it or you love it. There's going to be people that are going to go and turn it off immediately. And there's people like myself, I absolutely love it. I love all the little haptic feeling. I like the way you can customize it. So if it's too much and you like a little bit of it, you can turn on certain ones, turn off certain mm-hmm. ones. But some people, you know, they come to me and say, well, I'm kind of concerned about my haptic engine failing quicker. I'm worried about the battery usage with that thing going off all the time. And there's just some people just don't like it vibrate everything mm-hmm. they do. So I like the haptic myself.
Yeah, I do as well. I got to say, I like having that bit of extra feedback. And even I know some people maybe turn sounds off now and just have the haptics kind of as their method of feedback. So, you know, that's an option as well. What do you reckon, Scott?
I've seen the gamut on reactions with it. You know, I tested it throughout the whole summer, really, because it's a very interesting feature for me. I've always had VoiceOver sounds off. I turned them on in 13 and realized just how noisy my iOS device can be. But, you know, I tried it with it on and tried it with it off, and I noticed maybe like a 2% difference in my battery, 3%, something like that. So either it doesn't make much of a difference or I just don't use my device enough. I don't know. But
I haven't noticed any battery issue with it, to be honest.
Yeah, so me neither.
If it does, yeah, it's minimal.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people who used to use VoiceOver sounds because they do give you a lot of helpful information if you understand, you know, what it is it's telling you. And by the way, iOS 13 does a much better job of that, explaining to you what those gestures are, and you can preview the sound. But a lot of people that I've talked to who used to use VoiceOver sounds are now happier using haptics, so that, you know, their iOS device isn't necessarily so disruptive to people around them.
Yeah. Definitely, I agree. Another big change is activities. Do you want to explain what those are, Scott? Or do you know, have you used them? Do you know much about the activities?
I set up a few to test. You know, there are certainly user examples where it's going to come in handy. Like, let's say, for example, you have an app that's in a language other than your system one. Now you can, anytime you launch that app, once you set it up, you know, you can have VoiceOver automatically switch to whatever other language it is you might be using it in, and the Braille table and everything. So that kind of customization isn't really something I'm after, but I think it's a cool option, especially for people who are using multiple languages on their iOS devices.
Yeah. And I think even I've heard people using it for things like, so this is like where you can have different almost settings, VoiceOver settings set up in different places. So maybe if you are going into the Kindle app or the Books app, you might want to have a different voice at a different speed than when you're, you know, navigating your phone in general, that kind of thing. So, Thomas, have you used this at all, or do you think it's...
I do. I kind of figured it as a VoiceOver preset. It's like there's different presets, you know, like you have different radio station you have punched out. You know, I like this quite a bit because there's certain places like VoiceDreamReader where I have it read to me. I like to have a different voice on that with a different speech rate. So I don't have to keep adjusting it or going back to the different language in the rotor now. It's just a preset that I can set to. And like Scott says, for those that have multiple languages or those that are programmers or whatever not, you can have the pronunciation or the not so much the punctuations being spoken more often, or turn that off. It's just a flick, you know, just swipe up to activities and change it, and bam. I like it quite a bit.
Yeah, I think it's another step, big step, I think, for VoiceOver. Like, you've had this kind of thing on desktops for quite a while, and it's just making VoiceOver more of a desktop class screen reader, I think, every year. That's my own opinion anyway. Yeah, so I'd say definitely check those activities out if you do think there's places where you'd like VoiceOver to behave a little bit differently in different apps. This is how you do it. That's really cool. One of the big ones that everyone is talking about is the ability to customize gestures, and this is both touchscreen gestures and keyboard commands we can now customize. So one that a lot of people have changed, I've heard, because they don't like the rotor gesture. People are, you know, changing that to maybe like a two-finger swipe or something like that. So you can actually go in and edit almost all of the gestures. Some of them are set in stone, but the majority of them you can go and edit. Have you guys played around with customized gestures at all?
I've done a lot of customization just to play around with it. I wanted to try to make this touch screen more efficient. You know, I don't really have an issue with any of the gestures that I never really have, you know, whether it's spinning the rotor around or whatever. But even if you don't have problems or you are perfectly content with gestures the way they are, you can add a lot of other gestures that a lot of other options for gestures for things that you could never do on a touch screen. For example, moving around headings on pages, on web pages. You know, you no longer have to move through the rotor several options to find headings and then start flicking up and down. Now you can make a gesture that's automatically going to jump you from heading to heading on a web page or any number of elements. So even if you don't have issues with any of the gestures and you like them all, there's still a heck of a lot of stuff you can do with this new customization. I think in general, the VoiceOver on iOS is really becoming a mature screen reader in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I really like this gesture, this thing as well. Like, or I've even set up ones I wouldn't have thought of before until I kind of went exploring through the options. And so, like, I have like a one finger quadruple tap brings me straight to VoiceOver settings. So I don't have to go through settings, accessibility, VoiceOver, you know, every time. Little things like that you can do now. So, Thomas, what do you reckon? Do you have?
This is no doubt one of the big ones. This is a great start. You know, I would love to see this as in activities, have VoiceOver gestures change on the fly, because
I was just thinking that when Scott was saying about the heading.
Exactly. So this is my web preset. So everything is set for web, so I can go heading. Because right now you only have one set of different gestures to do everything. So a preset would be great. But as a trainer, this is going to be fantastic for those people that are having a hard time with three fingers quad tap just to do a copy paste. We can simplify that to make that an easier performance, because I do a lot of cut and paste myself. I would like to simplify that. As you said, a rotor is difficult for a lot of people to twist or turn, and it can be difficult to train people, but you can change that. On the downside of everything is that it could be a major headache if you go to those people's phone and you perform those gestures. You don't know what's going to come out of it, so it can be challenging for you trying to help others. But for, let's just say, like my mom or somebody, or somebody, a client of mine, I can see this being very beneficial. And yes, I do have my cut and paste change, and I have my rotor change, so I don't have to do all those weird maneuvers. It just makes it a little easier.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I don't use the screen curtain, so I like reversed the screen curtain and the copy last spoken phrase one around, so the copy one is a bit easier to do than the thing. Little things like that can make a difference.
Yeah, I know for me the status bar sometimes is hard to reach depending on the device you're using. So when I finally upgrade my 10R, which I probably will soon, I wouldn't under 13.0, by the way, but with the 10R, you know, that status bar is a little difficult to reach. Now I can just do a gesture and I'm right there. Assuming, of course, that I'm not on the home screen.
Yeah, absolutely. But also the another one that I've added, I've added new gestures in for is Control Center and Notification Center and things like that. Because while I'm fine, I don't mind the new, you know, the new gestures that are on the, and the app switcher, sorry, things like that, that are on the new phones that don't have the home button. Some of those gestures, sometimes they're just a bit awkward to do, and it might be easier just to do a four finger flick up or something like that. So, yeah, I think that's really cool.
If only I could make my thumbprint work with Face ID.
Just put your thumb in front of the camera and have it scan. That's just do your facial with your thumb.
Yeah, customized Face ID.
Just hold your thumb up in front of the camera.
I just better not keep it in my back pocket. You know, that would set it off all the time.
Maybe, yeah. In a few years, we might have, maybe the iPhone 15 will have that, the Touch ID in the screen or something. But I think people will notice, I think pretty quickly, is something called Show Context Menu. They'll hear in the router, in the Actions menu. And this is sometimes useful. So anyone who's bought one of the new phones may have noticed anyway that the 3D Touch is gone on the new devices, and it's replaced partly with a kind of tap and hold haptic thing, and it's replaced for VoiceOver largely with this Show Context Menu. So if you are on the home screen, for example, you now have Activate, Edit, and Show Context Menu in your Actions router. And Show Context Menu will bring up the what used to be brought up by 3D Touch. But it's also popping up in other places around the OS, sometimes useful, sometimes I'm not sure why it's there.
Why it's even there, because it doesn't work at all. So, I mean, I'm mixed on this. I guess for those with dexterity issues or anything like that, they can't do the one finger double tap and hold. That may be an issue. Maybe why they want you to just be able to use the rotor to get to it easier. But nonetheless, it's an interesting concept. I think people will realize that there more often than knowing that you can do a one finger double tap press hold. I think they're trying to make you more aware of that there's more functionality to an app or a place that you can initiate. Maybe that's the whole idea.
Yeah, I think I'm wondering as well, are they looking at some places where they have the actions with a whole load of actions in the actions rotor, are they trying to replace those with just a swipe up to go to show context menu and then bring up this box? Is that what they want us to do instead, you know what I mean, of swiping through a load of actions? Who knows? In Mail, I'm sure you've noticed we still have the More button, but you also have a Show Context Menu button with largely the same content.
Yeah, it does the same thing, right? It's redundant, but I also can see this great for keyboard users, you know.
Okay. I think it's a good thing that you have multiple options. I mean, there are some people that, as you guys have already said, you know, some people like double tap and hold. They might like that over the context menu and vice versa. So it's good to have options, you know, kind of like on the computer, especially with Windows. You know, there's five or six different ways to accomplish the same task. So whether you prefer, say, for example, menus or keyboard shortcuts, you have both options. And in this sense, you also have both options. You know, if you're more comfortable doing something like the context menu, you have that. If not, if you're, you know, happy to do it another way, you've got that option as well. So, I think that's really the big theme. A lot of customization in iOS 13, you know, a lot of options have opened up in ways that I never thought we'd see on iOS, actually.
That's true. There's a lot more tweak that we couldn't done without a jailbreak before. And I think they're implementing more things. But at the same time, I think that's why we like Apple so much, was the simplicity. Now it's becoming almost bloatware. They're putting too much in there sometimes.
That's always a tough balance, though, isn't it? Because people want more features and they want to do more with their device. And a lot of us, like to be able to customize. So personally, yeah, I like it. I think it's a good direction to go because it's really making it much more capable, I think.
More robust, for sure.
Yeah. I'll move on quickly to one of my favorite new accessibility features, which is a thing called the vertical scroll bar, which is can help with of long lists. I absolutely love it. So kind of it's a vertical bar down the right hand side of the screen where you've got a lot of content, more than one page essentially of content. And instead of having to use a three finger swipe up or down to go up and down the list, this will let you just with one finger, you place it. It works very like the thing we always had in contacts for, you know, swiping down through to an alphabetical list. It works very like that, except it's percentages now. And these are the places. I love it. Do you guys use it? Like it?
Oh, definitely. I'm in agreement with you. When you're in a really long like settings, yes, I could do a search at the top, but I mean, you just go to a particular app. I want to change the privacy or whatever. Man, that three finger swipe, 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 up, 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 up. That used to be tedious. Now you just go and then go right down to the general area pretty quickly. They made the navigation a little more easier, but boy, is that everywhere though. I mean, it's good in some spots, not so great in other spots.
Yeah, true. It's popped up in one or two strange places. I think for the most part, though, I think it's great. Scott, do you use that?
I have. I think it's just this one. It's more a case of I haven't really implemented it into my, you know, daily routine of how I operate. I do wish it was like a toggle. So some people hate it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have all these other customizable options. Why not? Scroll bars. I mean, if you don't like them, they're kind of everywhere now. You can't really avoid them.
Yeah, that's fair.
For me personally, there are times when I have used it to scroll through a lot of content. Like I remember I was looking for a message, an iMessage that I remembered the time it was sent, but I couldn't exactly remember how the text itself was worded. So I was able to scroll up way more quickly and find it instead of having to think of 87 different possibilities for searching to find that text. So, you know, it does have applications. I just wish it was one of those options that was customizable, like maybe even through activities. You know, that's another one of those things that they could implement that would be helpful. I think it's a great feature sometimes and other times not so much. It kind of gets in the way. And for people who are not more advanced users of iOS, it can cause a lot of confusion and it's just another thing to navigate past. So I see the good and bad with that one.
Yeah, I'm very much on team vertical scroll bar, but I definitely take your point. It would be good if, because not everybody does. The only one or two other little things maybe to mention, there's a bit more guidance for taking photos from VoiceOver. So it'll kind of, in terms of, you know, placing a person or your face in a selfie or whatever it might be. And the enhanced Siri female voice as well, which got mentioned on stage at WWDC back in June. And I'm not in the US, and obviously I could still use the US voice, but I just don't happen to. So I haven't really tried to say it. Have you guys, and do you notice it being significantly better?
Me? No, and I don't think I'm alone on this. Yes, I can tell it's different, but not significantly. No, it kind of sucks that it's US only, and especially of all, it's female only. I used to have the male Siri voice, and now I don't use it at all because I just like the new Siri voice better. But
about gender inequality, right?
Disgrace.
Well, it's one of those that some people will notice a big difference and some people won't. It is kind of funny. It is there, and I can tell a little bit, but not in the difference that they showed the WWDC, which felt like it was huge, but it wasn't. I didn't think it was that big.
Mm. Not me either.
To the deal they made of it on exactly. Stage, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Scott, what is new in Braille, or is there a thing people would want to know about Braille?
Well, first of all, I'm probably not alone as a Braille user in saying I'm so glad 13.1 will be out. it really should have, in my opinion, just come out the same day. You know, I get that they had to ship the new phones with something. I totally get that. But and they, I guess, feel similarly because it was originally the 30th and we got moved back to the 24th. Anyway, to get back on Braille, 13.1, I'm on the fence about upgrading to 13.0. I definitely did not. For people who have languages that are not covered under the system braille tables, the LibLewis thing gives you a lot more options as far as other languages that we didn't have before. And even in some languages that were already in the system, they didn't have all the braille codes. You know, for example, some languages have contracted braille, but iOS just never supported them. And the LibLewis tables, they do have support. So again, for a certain set of users, that's a huge thing, but for others, maybe not so much. You know, if you're an English user, I don't mean in the UK, but an English
speaker
language user, I don't really, I find myself going back to the system table. There are translation errors still in LibLewis, and so I just find myself going back to the system table. The big one for me, which was more of a bug fix, I guess, although it was a feature enhancement in 13, was the automatic text recognition and now image recognition on unlabeled buttons. That's now accessible to Braille users. It wasn't in iOS 11 or 12, so that was a really nice thing to have. Now I can create my custom labels, and then they're done. You know, it's so I'm not plagued with unlabeled buttons like I used to be. So I think those are the biggest things for me personally. The ability to know how many items, like say you're, what item you're on in a major list compared to the number you have, say 5 of 15 or whatever. That kind of drives me a little nuts, but I don't see it in 13.1. It looks like they took it away. So I don't know if they're going to bring that back. Is it gone? But you know, that's kind of one of those, I think either you love it or hate it.
Yeah, it's another thing you'd want to be able to turn on and off, I guess.
Yeah, and, you know, text input with a Braille display, which is pretty much in a 0.0 release, has become historically, and we continued the trend this year, terrible. But it has improved dramatically in 13.1, especially when replying to and composing emails, which was one of the biggest reasons I didn't want to upgrade. And still have 12.4.1 on my 10R. Okay. So 13.0 was rough. 13.1, I think, is what 13.0 was intended to be.
God, yeah, I would agree completely with that. Like we're, the three of us and the whole team, we were, you know, using iOS 13 all summer, and I think we would all agree it was one of the tougher summers maybe in recent years. But like they've solved a lot of, you know, there were a lot of bugs and they've solved a lot of them, but there still are certainly a good number of bugs, and you can check out applebiz.com for the list of what we've found and what other users, a lot of, you know, other users have commented and given their thoughts and added their experiences. Where do you think we're at now, Thomas? Like, how would you judge 13.1 in terms of bugs?
Well, it's got, yeah, I mean, 13.1 is definitely better than 13.0. This is a typical major release bug release. I mean, I'll admit this is probably one of the worst iOS release I have seen in terms of bugs, as in too many of them. Now, I've seen, you know, obviously we were very fortunate and we were just very lucky that last year was just a very minor update, and so we didn't have that many bugs at all. But every version that comes on, major version, it seems to have a handful. But this year, wow, there are some really nasty stuff in there. Like, I'm thinking to myself, Dave, on my daily usage, I'm not a Braille display user, neither am I a low vision. So how does this impact me? I tell you, email, it impacts me, because when I delete an email, it just skips all over the place. I have to go. It takes a lot more time to go back to where I was and read it. My messages is slowed down dramatically, because I may have 20, 30, 40 tweets, or not tweets, but messages, text messages from my wife, for example. And it used to take me right down to the bottom where the last text was. Now I have to go swipe, 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 or scroll, 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 just get to the last one. And so it really slows down my productivity. This phone and this FaceTime hanging up, and then VoiceOver becomes unresponsive. It's not a showstopper, but it's just annoyance. It's just major. It's just like it's nothing that's a showstopper, but it's just enough just to drive you batty after the third or fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh time it does that. 13.1 is a typical major release, but for being a 13.0 release, I agree with Scott. This should have been a 13.0 release, the 13.1. But even with that, I don't think it's a showstopper for me, but I think for those that cannot tolerate annoying bugs like this, it just drives them batty. And then I would say hold off. But for me, I think a lot of people would be able to use it just fine. It's just be aware some of the very annoying stuff.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like that mail one you mentioned is really irritating. But
it's irritating. Apart from that,
yeah, it just slows you down, like you say, big time. I think apart from that, like mail had a lot of issues for me over the summer, but is like everything else is sorted really. It's just that one that's still hanging around. Messages, yeah, I don't really use messages that, you know, with the Apple's messages app that much, but I have definitely noticed that particular bug.
And oh, that's right. You're a WhatsApp guy. What about the notification center? I there's a lot of annoyances in there too. If you're a notification user, it can be pretty flaky in there.
Yeah, it can still be. Again, I think it's improved in 13.1, but yes. Maybe it's not
100%. It still flakes around. Sometimes the action doesn't work and you have to just move things around just to make it all work.
Yeah, and you mentioned low vision, so there are some significant issues around if you're using smart invert or kind of color contrast kind of changes people are having issues with. I believe, again, some improvement has been made in 13.1, but it's still not where you'd want it to be. And then so some low vision people might want to read up a bit more, think a bit hard, talk to more people before they take the plunge, I would say. Would you reckon?
Definitely. I think low vision users are going to be very annoyed by the smart invert, what's going in and out in the dark mode, light mode. It's just, I've heard that it's also very annoying. It's not a showstopper, but you're having to do a lot more work just to keep it to where you like it.
Mm. Scott, are there any Braille bugs that you didn't mention already that you want to?
Yeah, the one that gets me the most on 13.1. I mean, I'm just gonna throw 13.0 out at this point.
True.
13.1's coming out tomorrow. I think we can all agree that it belongs back in the dumpster. But 13.1, the one bug that is kind of, it's more of an annoyance, is that when you're editing, say for example, a note or an email. I've found this also to be true in Safari. When you go back to edit, okay, when you press a cursor router button on the Braille display, you are supposed to see a blinking cursor, you know, kind of like you do on the visually on the screen, mm-hmm. you know, when you're editing a Word document or whatever. Unfortunately, there is no cursor a lot of the time. And if you're, and you know, voiceover focus sometimes when you're in an edit field will jump around when you make an edit. It just happens. So once you've made one edit, you're not really sure where the cursor is. So it's kind of an issue. Will it prevent me from upgrading? Not me personally, but a lot of people are very dependent on the cursor, you know, for editing. So they may want to hold off. But I think a lot more people can feel better upgrading from 12.4.1 to 13.1 than 0.0, no matter what your situation is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that cursor routing, that's kind of a big deal. I think for people that use it very heavily, especially doing a lot of emailing, note taking and stuff, that might be important to them. So if you can do without it, I suppose you could be okay. But is that the only thing that's that might be pretty annoying? Is everything else seemed to be working? I remember you had some issues in 13.0 where as you were typing, after four or five sentences, it just complete crap on you, right?
I wish it at least made that sound effect. It would have at least made me smile a little. But I mean, yeah, it was bad. And we had a bug in the final release where sometimes our cursor would just randomly jump around, you know. You wouldn't even have your hands on the keyboard, the Braille keyboard, or on your iOS device. And you might be halfway, like if you're replying to an email, you might find you're halfway down into the original message when you were just up, you know, typing whatever you were typing. So That was really bad.
So the cursor routing is about the only big problem that you have?
Yeah, at this point, I'm sure there are probably other things I haven't discovered yet. It's always how it goes. Yeah. We record one of these and 5 minutes later, oh, I just discovered that. I wish I had known. The major thing. You know, the other thing too with Braille is that sometimes Apple will implement a voiceover feature, but they won't implement it for Braille. You know, like I was talking about the automatically detected text around buttons earlier. That wasn't accessible for Braille users until now, even though it was an iOS 11 feature. The one at the moment that we're missing is the when you want to watch an item, say on a web page or maybe in an app, a voiceover user will speak the item to you as the status changes, but there's no indication in Braille that status has changed. So, but you know, I guess you won't miss it because you didn't have it before now. So that's not necessarily a reason to not upgrade.
So it sounds like all three of us are pretty much on the same thought, is that if you're willing to tolerate some of these bugs, that we pretty much all are on there and we will be using 13.1. Is that right?
Yeah. I would agree. I would say that sometimes VoiceOver just still randomly loses focus. I don't know that it's necessarily worse in 13.1 compared to 12.4.1, but you know, you'll be moving around your screen and you'll double tap on something or however you select it, and it doesn't do anything. You got to go out of the app and back into the app to make it happen. And I'm still finding that sometimes that's the case, even in 13.1. I don't know if you guys have seen that or not.
The odd time, yeah. And the one where maybe I'll try to tap on, I don't know, mail, and it'll jump up to the top left of my screen and I'll accidentally open the App Store. And I'm like, how did I
end
up?
It doesn't even have to be on a home screen. It happens to me when I'm in apps themselves, like I'm going to read this article and I'll tap on it and all of a sudden it goes to another article and I accidentally double tap and it's like, wait a minute, I didn't want to read that. And so I've seen it elsewhere too. But you're right. Now, the only drawback I've heard about 13.1 for some is, Dave mentioned it earlier, these third-party keyboards such as FlickType and Braille, all that is broken. And I mean broken. Like, it doesn't work. I'm also hearing reports that InVision doesn't work. I'm also hearing reports of some other apps are not working. I don't know. I would assume those are more of a developer updates, that they'll have to come out with these new updates to fix this. So I think if you're if you must have those particular apps, then I would definitely hold back to 13.0. Or if you haven't gone to the 13 at all, I stay at 12.41 for now. If I would tell my mom, I would tell her don't update to 13. Honestly, if my mom was using VoiceOver, there'd be a lot of problematic stuff in there that would not make sense to her, that she'll get very confused. So anybody that's new user or people that are not really tech savvy, it's not a bad thing. It's just that some things will be weird and you may not understand what's going on. And if you don't have that confidence or ability to understand how to get out of things, I would definitely stay on 12.4.1.
So here's my question to you guys, and I'll provide my answer after you guys. Let's say I'm in the market for a new phone. Obviously, it's shipping with 13 or 13.1.
Yep.
Are there any of these things that are so serious that you would say to a person, you shouldn't buy a new phone because you'll have iOS 13.1 on it when you get it?
For me, no. But yeah, I think like there are some annoyances in 13.1, but unless like one or two serious things, such as, you know, you really, really need perfect smart invert working perfectly or something like that, you know, I think.
That smart invert is kind of a big deal on this. And I'll try to explain to people about this hangout problem.
Yeah, I haven't experienced this one. So
Oh my gosh.
It seems to be one of those that is hitting.
I haven't either.
This kind of plays into our usual disclaimer, which is like, not everything you read about on the site about bugs is going to apply to you. You know, some just affects different people in different
ways. Exactly. You know, Mike and I were talking to me, and Michael said the same thing. Oh, I have never had that problem until the one time he talked and we hung up. It happened to him. He freaked out, just like I did.
Hearing there, Thomas.
What's that?
you're spreading it is what I'm hearing there.
And so Michael was like freaking out and he had to do a hard reset. And you know, when you first see this problem, you're going to know right off the bat, like after you hang up, nothing is talking, nothing is doing anything, no sounds, no nothing. And I was like, what happened? Did I just run out of battery? Or
yeah,
and it was really freaky. But you can sit there, you have to be very patient, you have to let it, it's like it's in a lag, it's like in a lull. So you have to wait until it gets itself out of its busy thing, whatever it is, and then you just hit the side button triple times. You may have to do it three or four times and it will eventually come back on, or you can just do a hard reset. But you know, if this were to happen to my mom, even if she has sight and that just hangs up, like it just locks, I could see her going down to the Apple store and going, there's something wrong with the phone.
Definitely. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if it, but it isn't happening to everybody. You're right. It is, it's a hit and miss. And when it does happen, it happens often. So I have one guy that it happened to him 5 to 8 times a day. So, but he uses phone pretty heavily, and that can be really super annoying. To me, it probably happens maybe once a day.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, and that is a good example of one that maybe somebody who's not too, you know, somebody who's not going to know how to deal with the issue.
If
that,
you that know about it.
Can you imagine how stressful it is if you're out, you know, and you're on a call and then you hang up the call and suddenly your phone is...
I can just remain calm, remain calm, be patient, try to do what we just did, and at least you know about it and you know it's not a big deal. You can just restart the phone. Yeah. That's pretty much it. But the question to answer is, would I recommend it to somebody that didn't know any about this stuff? No. If they knew about some of this stuff, sure. I don't see it's a big deal except for the smart invert problem. That could be pretty problematic for some.
And again, none of us use that feature, so none of us are probably in a position to really give a definitive answer on that. But I'd say go onto AppleViz, and you know, if you want to know more about that issue, ask about it on there, and hopefully somebody who knows a bit more about the seriousness of it will be able to tell you.
You know, one of the other, and I agree with you guys on, you know, as far as upgrading to a new phone or not, one of the other things we haven't really talked about is voice control. How cool is that? I mean, it isn't perfect, but the amount of stuff you can do with your voice, you can do other stuff and like yell at your phone.
Yeah. Do you remember we had with Sarah and Dean on from Apple back in June, and they kind of under-promised and over-delivered here because we asked them, would this work with VoiceOver? And they kind of said, not really. It's not really designed for that. It actually works really well with VoiceOver.
So it does.
You can even tell it like VoiceOver gestures. You can say swipe right, double tap, you know, these kinds of things. It's really cool.
I think it is really fantastic for those that have multiple disabilities. Again, I know several people in my mind and my clients that would absolutely love this because they're having to use a stylus because just simply they can't perform the gestures as they would like, just because they have some physical form with their hands, they can't do things. And this, it's just, I think is earth shattering for those with those kind of disability. I think is going to be awesome.
I think it's cool. Even I used it when I was in the kitchen and I had food on my hands because you know what I mean, and I just didn't want to pick up my phone, you know what I mean. It's like you could just you know, have the phone down on the counter and talk to it, you know.
Definitely.
Well, and the great thing about it is it works pretty well with VoiceOver. It's not perfect, but I mean, it, I haven't really had any issues with it. And you know, Apple said, well, you know, back on the podcast that we had with Sarah and Dean, that they're not really necessarily focusing on making that compatible with every other accessibility feature, but they certainly have a darn good start. I mean, look at all those commands that you have specific to VoiceOver. You know, they did take the time to program that, so I think it's a really good start.
I think it's absolutely awesome for us in the way of, in terms of lots of visual people will be using this option. And meaning that if something isn't labeled or something's not look right, that it will come back to the developers to make this more logical and maybe fixing the things that they never fixed before for VoiceOver users. It's just something to think about.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, as long as you're doing universal design and you are looking at that accessibility and implementing that into your app, now you have even more reasons to do it. So, you know, hopefully developers are going to continue to be more aware. And, you know, Apple gives them a darn good set of guidelines to follow to make things accessible. It's just a matter of getting them to use it and be aware that it's there and why it's important. You know, it's kind of the same old story in some ways.
Yeah. But the more reasons they have to do it, the better. So,
yeah.
Yeah, great stuff. So I think that probably pretty much wraps us up for iOS 13.1. Thomas, do you have any kind of final thoughts?
Not really. I think we pretty much covered everything that I would think that would be need to be touched and people to be aware of between 13 and 13.1 when it comes to low vision braille display users and just voiceover specific, and lots of new features for accessibility. I would say this is probably one of the biggest iOS update in terms of all the new accessibility, new things that we can do with the activities, commands, all those. That's just huge. Absolutely love it. Keep it coming.
Yeah, definitely. Scott?
I think we pretty much covered everything as well. you know, there are a lot of features and there are some bugs just like every other year, but I'm glad to see there's less negativity this time around in general. You know, certainly there are people complaining about the bugs, but Apple has addressed a lot of them much more quickly than they have in some previous 0.0 releases. So, yeah, 13.0 was kind of bumpy, a little rough, but, you know, we're already recovering and we're, what, a week, not even a week into it yet. So I think Apple deserves credit for that and also for bringing new features related to accessibility. I think that, you know, every release, it seems like we get a lot more cool things we can do. And I'm not looking forward to the beta cycle yet for 14, but I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with it.
I predict that 14 will be just like 12. It'll be an upgrade maintenance cycle.
I hope you're right. Yeah, it's like, you know, you have to mop up after, you know, okay, maybe you do all these great things and you get the big things and the big picture set up, but now the next release is kind of a fine tune. So I kind of hope they do that. You know, odd numbers maybe get more significant upgrades and then even numbers are kind of maintenance releases.
Could be. I mean, it's people have pointed out on the site that it's one of those years this year where a lot of new features, and with a lot of new features, generally speaking, come bugs. It's just par for the course, really, because there's a lot of changes underlying all those new features, you know. So it's just something we have to accept, I guess. And yeah, I'd agree. I think they've made some really cool steps forward this year. And if you're happy that you can live with a few annoyances, a few bugs, then I would say definitely upgrade. But you know, do have a read of the bug posts on the site and have a think about whether they'll affect you or not, really, and how much they'll annoy you. I think that pretty much does it then. So thank you guys for joining me on this, and thank you everybody for listening. I hope you enjoy iOS 13.1 should you decide to upgrade. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AppleVis Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.applevis.com. Follow us on Twitter @AppleVis and like us on Facebook.